your Nick fucking.
What's up, you maniacs? Welcome back to another episode. This week we're talking about Peggy Sue Got Married.
Jillian Rivalcaba, thank you for joining
Welcome
us.
To the show.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Jill is one of our dear, dear friends. She is in the online sketch comedy group Leash Kid with me. Jill is an all-around comedic genius and a Back to the Future expert. I thought that Peggy Sue Got Married is a good companion film to Back to the Future. Thank you so much for watching it. I know it's not available on streaming. Another coin in Francis Ford's coffers. Anyway, we're getting off track. Billy, I have a question for you.
Hit me with it.
Jill, we're doing a new thing. It's questions of the week that have to do with Nick Cage, a little game. So here's my question. If Nick Cage were a flavor of pie, what flavor of pie do you think he would be?
Ooh.
Oh, my God. Okay, can I ask you a question back?
Yeah.
Nick Cage just as Nick Cage, the person and the actor, or Nick Cage within this movie, Charlie?
That's a great question.
His character is so colorful in this movie.
Yes.
And we're going to talk a lot about it.
Yeah.
Okay, a good banana cream for Charlie.
Oh,
at least for the young
Charlie. I was going to say.
That's a great... All the yellow he wears is blonde hair.
He's very like pastel-y in this movie. I think the old version would be a totally different pie. I'd have to think about that more. But the 17-year-old, he's like mushy gushy, believes in love, believes in himself and his music career. That's very banana cream pie.
Yes. Peggy Sue, I thought you loved banana yesterday. You said you love bananas today. You say you hate bananas. He would, like, love Laffy Taffy.
He would love... You love the banana Laffy Taffy.
Guys, I can't stand the banana or the grape Laffy Taffy.
Billy!
Yeah,
Billy,
I
thought we were
you.
Friends!
No, dude, I agree with Billy.
So, Billy, tell us a little bit about Peggy Sue Got Married, 1986.
Uncle Frank directed this one. We're back in the Nepo phase.
Not our first episode in the Nepo phase.
Yeah, we did Rumblefish. There's quite a few. There's a handful of Uncle Frank movies on the Nick Cage filmography. I liked this one a lot. I had a lot of fun with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right, I'm so interested to hear your take.
Just for the timeline, for those who are following Nicolas Cage's timeline. So Rumblefish that was mentioned. He did Rumble 3 years before this, and his uncle directed that as well. He had just starred in his first movie, The Boy in Blue, because before that he was second fiddle. A year later, after Peggy Sue, he'd get Raising Arizona. And Francis Ford directed it, but he was the third choice.
Whoa.
Yeah. They wanted a director named Jonathan DeMay. He's done some biggies, but I thought that was a crazy choice because we try to assign directors a lot at work. You want to go for people who have similar style and vibe. But this guy, like, his first movie was a women in prison movie called Caged Heat. You know, later he directed Silence of the Lambs. So tonally, very confusing choice. He left. And then they were going to give it to a woman, Penny Marshall, who was Laverne from Laverne and Shirley. And I thought it was worth mentioning because instead of directing this, she directed Jumping Jack Flash starring Whoopi Goldberg. And then after that, her second movie was Big, which was the first movie directed by a woman to gross over $100 million at the box office.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That's the interesting thing about the director. And then apparently Francis Ford was just knocking down Nick's door. I want you to play the role. He turned it down 3 times and he was like, Uncle, why do you want to make this movie at all? And Coppola had replied that it's like Our Town.
The play Our Town by Thornton Wilder.
Yeah.
It's good to know about before we go into the analysis.
I'm not familiar with Our Town.
So Our Town is quite a famous American play. Small town lives, small town in New Hampshire called Grover's Corners. It talks about the human experience. I think in the first act, the main couple is in high school. And in the second act, they fall in love. In the third act, she dies in childbirth. So it kind of explores, you never know how good you had it until it's gone. Appreciation, mortality, couples, life cycle, all the themes that are present in this movie. And this is what Nick Cage had to say about it. He said, By the way, I couldn't stand Our Town. I had bad memories about Our Town. In high school, I was cast as Constable Warren, and John Turteltaub, who later directed me in National Treasure, got the lead. He never let me forget it, and I just don't like the play. It's a Norman Rockwell bore fest.
That's interesting. They went to high school together and were acting together, the two of them.
Yeah, Turteltaub directed him in all the National Treasure movies, The Sorcerer's Apprentice. He's a huge director. He did Cool Runnings, While You Were Sleeping, The Meg. Very important.
Oh, the Meg. Let's go. Let's go, Jason Statham.
Let's go. Jason Statham podcast next.
Dude, don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, I know.
I'll watch The Beekeeper any day of the week.
Oh my God. I did
not the bees. They're more similar than you'd think. Beekeeper.
Pretty good. That's a pretty good
But yeah, no, it is good. Is he here right now?
Anyway, yeah, so Nick Cage was like, fuck Our Town, fuck Peggy Sue Got Married. And he only agreed to do the movie on the condition that he could talk like Pokey from the Gumby show. Pokey is his horse.
Oh, Pokey's the friend. Whore. Yeah.
He gives him advice.
Pokey's the horse. Watching it was really interesting because, again, he is sincere and earnest in his role, but his voice took me out every time he opened his mouth, like, and to the point where I laughed and I enjoyed it, but I was like, what is this choice?
He literally says in interviews, oh, I know it's crazy, but look at James Cagney in White Heat. Made it, ma, top of the world. Like, that's not real, but is it fun to watch? Is it exciting? Yeah. So he says, I can look at TV commercials and see cringeworthy acting and it makes me laugh, and I'm probably gonna wind up putting it in one of my movies.
Wow.
But everyone on set hated him, especially
Kathleen Turner.
From Romancing the Stone, Queen of Microbangs, Queen of this movie. The movie was going to star Deborah Winger from Terms of Endearment, but she walked with the female director out of solidarity. So Kathleen Turner fucking hated him. Way, way, way later in 2008, they even litigated. She hated that stupid voice of his fake teeth. And then she basically says in her book that he was arrested twice for drunk driving while making the movie. And I think for stealing a dog, quote, he'd come across a chihuahua he liked and stuck it in his jacket. Cage sued her for defamation over the dog theft claims, ultimately winning damages and an apology. Okay. In 2008, she admitted, I lied, and he made her donate to charity.
Testy. Wow.
That's the background. Kathleen is very grounded in this, and he is not.
Yeah.
So with that.
Yeah, give us a recap.
So the recap of Peggy Sue Got Married is this woman, Peggy Sue, she's mid-40s. She attends her 25th high school reunion. She's on the brink of divorce. She's separated from Charlie, and she goes with her daughter, Beth. She reconnects with old friends, sees other people from high school, and she gets seemingly overwhelmed when her separated husband, Charlie, comes. And as she's announced the high school reunion prom queen, she faints. And when she wakes back up, she is 25 years younger, somehow back at her high school during her high school senior year, and just has to go about living her life. She's essentially stuck there. I love Back to the Future, and Marty is so freaked that he's like, all right, who do I know who can help me get back? Obviously, things are different because he knows a mad scientist who, you know, is messing with time. So he's like, okay, I got to figure a way to get back. She doesn't. Again, this is more grounded. And now that you give the context of Our Town, who the hell would she even go for help? Mm. Does she even really want to go back? But she does miss her kids.
Her daughter, played by Helen Hunt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is only 9 years younger than her.
I was going to say the age difference, I have to say, really threw me off in the beginning. You never see Peggy Sue without that haircut, the very 50s hairdo. Right. And she always looks gorgeous, even from the beginning. So I was like, how old is she? Okay, this is 25-year reunion. So it was hard for me to figure out the age in the very beginning. I don't know if that was a problem for you guys.
Definitely. I mean, I feel like the costume department could have done a better job with a wig to show the passage of time.
I felt like Nick looked significantly different. True. I thought he felt really youthful versus feeling, especially at the end, he felt quite a bit older. But yeah, I agree that Peggy Sue herself, her age was a little bit confusing.
We talk about his hair.
The blonde.
Okay, so his hair is very coiffed and adds 2 inches in the flashbacks. But Nicolas Cage has insane hair in both timelines. What did you guys think of the Richard Norvik character, the zero to hero nerd?
He was interesting because he was the one person that sort of the Doc Brown equivalent, I guess, where she's able to go to him and let him know what situation she's in.
It would have been even nice if she saw something on TV in her hospital room about Richard having done something.
They're less pressed about the specificity of how the time travel works.
Yeah, it doesn't really get into any sort of sci-fi element or anything like that. It just sort of takes it as a matter of nature and goes from there, which I think is a good way to keep it focused on the relationship.
That's true. I feel like when I was listening to you guys talk about the Christmas movie with Nicolas
Cage. Oh, The Family Man.
The Family Man. Yeah, this is not dissimilar. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Like when you guys were speaking about that, I was like, oh, okay, because they don't go into the mechanics of time travel and you're just sort of like supposed to accept it.
I mean, you know what I think was a left turn? The Grandfather's Lodge.
Freemasons or whatever. Yeah, what was that? Was crazy.
Our lodge was founded by a time traveler. It has an eye over it.
Yeah.
And it's very like Catholic-esque iconography. Yes! And it doesn't
work. It was so Catholic-esque. I was like, is she about to take communion right now?
I was like,
yes, do grandparents typically serve as figures in movies who believe you even when your parents don't? Yes. Are they more indulgent of whimsy and fantasy? Like, it's usually the grandma who's like, I believe in Peter Pan too. But like, to have him have this much going on with his pals was so unnecessary in my opinion.
Yeah,
it was crazy. One of my favorite lines in the movie is when Charlie comes in and grabs her and he's like, they were going to vaporize you. And then the dude, the one Freemason guy or whatever, I don't know what they are. He goes, well, the girl's gone. Let's play cards.
Yes.
There were a lot of good jokes like that.
That I wrote down.
Good, good. You were saying the mechanics of the time travel is she wakes up in a blood drive. The way we meet Nick Cage, I think, is worth mentioning.
God. I want to suck your blood.
He has two big vampire moments in this movie. He has like a total Nosferatu shadow thing when he sneaks into her window later.
Oh my god.
His hands.
But the first time we meet him, he goes, blood, blood, I want to suck your blood and your Twinkie.
And your Twinkie. I was like, oh my god.
Same lines.
Yeah. Francis Ford Coppola had a Dracula movie in the 90s. Really great Dracula movie, in my opinion. I love it. It's over the top. It's awesome. But then, Nick Cage played Dracula later. But he also has this, German expressionist obsession that we've talked about a bunch. And he's really channeling the, Max Schreck Nosferatu, original German film thing.
Which I think was a smart choice. Because of the love-obsessed being such a theme for Nosferatu.
Yeah, yeah.
He's honestly kind of like the himbo trope. For those who don't know, it's like a bimbo, but for men, so a himbo. They were trying to play up to the style of the 60s, kind of like Hairspray. All the girls had these cute little sweater clips, and everybody has these cute cars. They're all quoting the Three Stooges silver screen era movies. Like, why Iota? They're all being like casually misogynistic.
I think the most interesting thing about Charlie to me was he was reacting the whole time. He's essentially being held accountable for what he has done in the future. So the 17-year-old version hasn't cheated on her, hasn't left her with the kids, hasn't treated her badly, and he's being held accountable for it all, and he's very confused about it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those diva lines, they're really funny, but I think that they also give Nick something really interesting to react to.
Yeah.
And I watched a little interview with him from this time when he was promoting this film. He said that he's drawn to characters that are put in impossible situations and are still trying to maintain a human dignity.
Aww.
I think that's such a thoughtful take on the character who's kind of a little bit of an idiot, a little bit of an asshole.
But they put more work into his character than into hers, in my opinion.
I agree with that. She's pulling away from him and she's pulling these diva lines on him. And he's like thinking of you with another guy. Like, I can't do that. Forget the comparison shopping, he says, essentially. I just want to be with you. From there, he's just pursuing her endlessly.
He's so endearing. I flagged that scene too, where he was like, I've been thinking about my 3-year plan. I think it's totally unworkable. And he
shoots himself.
Yeah, shoots
He's just like, oh, doy, silly me, as if he didn't propose something
that implies that he doesn't love her enough.
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts about Peggy Sue, because I have thoughts as well. And she was praised for her performance, but I'm curious.
I know, she was nominated
for an Oscar.
Academy Award. Yes. Can you believe that?
I think that she's a great actress, and her facial expressions are doing a ton of the work, and that's undeniable, so that must be why. But in my opinion, it's dated with the decade that it came out during, where a lot of the conversation is about, can you be a mom and also something else? Is being a mom enough? Just the concept of being a breadwinner, or like breaking the glass ceiling or something, they don't even bother in this example. And then I was thinking, well, does her occupation matter in the end? Does who she's with matter in the end? It's really about his behavior and her behavior and how that's going to stand on their deathbeds. Like we said, they pepper in enough good behavior from him. Like when they prompt him to bully Mr. Zero to Hero and he says, he's a nice guy, he's just writing a book. That is a moment of nuance that her character doesn't get. Her character's really nice all the time. Her character doesn't fuck up a lot. You could consider her sleeping with the beatnik guy as a fuck up, as a moment of weakness, but that's so dated. It's just kind of falls into the slut shaming.
But I think you're right in that it was very much a product of its time, and that's why I was just like, okay, she is not going to be talking about her career that much. She's family oriented. She very much misses her kids. Someone at the end of the day she can come home to who loves her and respects her. I really liked, before it got all time travel Mason-y, when she was just spending time with her grandparents. Yeah. That was really endearing for me. And honestly, that was one of my favorite parts about the film, where I stopped taking notes and I was just in it. I was just like, this right here. Because that felt honestly more Our Town to me. That.
Yeah, that was like the
reflecting
heart.
On your life. That was the heart. Yes. But my initial reaction to Kathleen Turner was, they recasted Marty McFly. So it was originally Eric Stoltz. And they were like, he doesn't have that comedic bounce. He's not as charismatic. We got to recast. And so they got Michael J. Fox. And that's sort of how I felt about Kathleen Turner. She was amazing at Ernesty. You either have like comedic bounce or you don't. Like, especially against Nicolas Cage. She was such a straight man that I felt when he threw the ball just landed and fell down. There wasn't as many laughs for me from her character as I wanted there to be because of the absurdity of the situation. She was too earnest, almost to a fault. And I guess because of how ridiculous Nicolas Cage was, sometimes it felt like an imbalance.
Billy and I have talked a lot about him throwing things at co-stars that they can't handle and them being really pissed off with him off screen. It like bleeds into the movie a little bit. But I do think you're right. The actors in this movie will always be who they are. Jim Carrey's in this movie being the same as he always is, even though he's had some great drama movies under his belt that I adore. The girl who plays Peggy's younger sister is Sofia Coppola.
Yes, I only noticed that until the credits.
And that is someone who flipped a switch and is unrecognizable, which is like great acting. I really resonated with her embracing her sister and being like, well, wish we were closer. I have sisters, so it just really hit.
The sister was interesting because they never got into where she is at in life in the future. I almost thought that there was going to be something where maybe the sister passed away young or something. Same. And she was like, well, here's my sister again. They never did, but yeah, she does have a huge reaction when her sister walks into the room and she's like, you've never been happy to see me. And she's like, I'm sorry. Very sweet, very second crack at life. But yeah, they didn't get into it really with her too much.
She has a bigger reaction to that than to the time travel happening around her, which she barely reacts to.
We have that great shot of her walking into her room and her touching everything as it was. She's remembering every little detail. She's picking up her journal and then she's freaking the hell out. She's like, where am I? What am I doing here? Then I feel like we get, it's like the next morning maybe. She comes downstairs. Oh, I thought I'd go to school today. Blah, blah, blah. That's it? And you're just gonna accept it? I'd still be freaking the hell out. That was something for me where I'm like, no, Peggy, freak out a bit more. I just wanted to be with her emotional journey more in that moment.
Yeah.
We have to talk about sex. They definitely play up the wish fulfillment of that one guy from high school that never happened. But she tries it with Charlie first, notably, and he freaks out. Mm-hmm. And they have that scene where they prepped him to freak out because they inserted a scene of her dad chastising him and telling him not to go there, not to have sex with his daughter. But I don't feel that the scene was necessary.
I did find the thing with Mr. Beatnik, Mike, pretty interesting. It was very romantic, and he's dropping poetry, and here's some Yeats, whatever. Maybe this was her imagination of this mysterious guy from high school, what it'd be like. And then he's extremely disappointing right after that, where he's like, come on, let's go to Utah. I'll marry you and this other girl, and you can take care of the chickens while I write. I love her reaction being like, I'm allergic to chickens.
She's so nice to him, though. Like, she should have been like, fuck you, and throwing water in his face, but that felt indicative of the decade, too. I'd be so mad, and she's so calm and collected.
Do you think that Peggy Sue has this sort of calm and collected reaction specifically to Mike the Beatnik? Because she is like this 45-year-old woman, and she's like, you stupid kid.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was part of it. She was just like, ah, well, you're a disappointment. This is what I built up in my head all these years, and it's not enough to enrage her or anything, but it's enough to let her down.
In that scene with Mike, he says, you're gonna graze around with the other sheep for the rest of your life. And that's a question that she's asking herself continuously. I guess it explores if there's any shame in having a small and quiet and peaceful life, which we also talked about with his movie, The Family Man. You said, Billy, that he likes characters who are trapped, and I wonder if people create these prisons in their own minds. Am I living too small a life? I don't know that this movie hits us over the head with some sort of Aesop's fable at the end of it. Maybe a little don't care what people think, just marry the guy.
I agree. I don't think it really insists on a certain message. I do think that there's a little bit of maybe you can't avoid who you are. She might not be happy with everything about her life, but she does talk about her kids and missing her kids. There are things about her life that have become indispensable parts of her. She can't just change. So maybe that's part of it too. Regardless of the cards you're dealt or the way things go for you, it's always going to become part of you, and you can't get away from it once it's happened.
No shame in being boring, girl.
I think I took less away from it as like being judged by others, and I think more of it from the regret of the decisions you've made in your life. If you could go back and do it differently, would you? Peggy Sue tries again and again and again to do it differently by pushing Charlie away. And then she ends up with him in the end because she realizes, I can push you away all I like. I know in my heart of hearts that I'm going to choose you because deep down you are a good guy. We're meant to have these kids that I adore so much. Mm-hmm. So I feel like her lesson is just, no, I don't have any regrets marrying you, but what's the way forward? Like, what's the next step?
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
They briefly talk about cigarettes as a symbol of this too. This regret.
What was the cigarettes thing? I don't know if I picked up on that.
It's subtle, but early on, they're like, you're freaking out, Peggy. Do you want to smoke? And she's like, no, I gave them up years ago. She has the instincts that she has something to live for. But then she has this huge fight with Nick. He had this moment being like, you think I'm going to spend the rest of my life selling appliances, chasing women around the store like my father? And then she starts smoking, which I love because it implied that she had something to live for. And now she's like, fuck it, I want to die. Because we all know that smoking kills. She knows, they don't know. Other than for her sister, she's never really trying to save everybody else. But was she trying to save herself for a lot of the movie by like making the right choices? And then she gives up in this scene.
Where she's like, no, I give that up. And then she's like, fuck it.
Can I tell you guys that yesterday, Jill, before you showed up at the event we were both at that Billy came to last year, we were outside and there were those heater lamps.
And some guy came over and like took a cigarette to the top of the heater lamp to light it. And we were all he just like lit it. And we were like, God, it's such a shame. Such a shame it kills. God, that was cool.
God, that was hot.
Good thing we don't have advertisers who force us to take that shit out. Don't edit me, Billy.
I'd love to thank our sponsor today, Marlboro Lights.
Wait, what was that? Pearly Whites?
Oh no, Marlboro Lights.
Marlboro Lights. I thought you were saying we were sponsored by like a veneers company for people who ruin their teeth smoking. Indie sponsor is dumb.
We're double
This
dipping.
line of
We got the cigarettes and the
Okay.
Oh my God.
Don't smoke, guys. Smoking
don't
kills.
smoke.
But you know what else kills? Nicolas Cage's jokes in this movie.
His one-liners.
Oh
What do you
my
want to talk
God.
about, Jill?
I want to talk about the singing. I want to talk about his music career and
Yes.
like that doo-wop song. What do they sing
in the beginning of the movie, the high school reunion? Isn't there a song called Peggy Sue Got Married as well?
Oh yeah, they legitimately play
the song that the movie was named after, which was also the case in Valley Girl.
But the singing career thing was really interesting. One thing I was hoping for and wanted more of in this movie was some scenes between Jim Carrey and Nick Cage, because they're just too high effort people. And I love Jim Carrey so much. I think he's just excellent. They did have a fun little bit together on stage during that scene. I wanted to see more of it. But yeah, his music career was pretty interesting, and it was funny. He was so sure it was going to work out. I thought there might have been a story branch where if she rejected him, he'd be famous or something like that, but it doesn't really go there. It becomes pretty clear that he wasn't going to make it either way. He does sound really good, though. I didn't know Nick Cage could sing like that.
Is that his real voice? It sounded like it was probably his real voice, right?
It was.
Peggy Sue seems to really enjoy it as well.
In that moment, she was re-falling in love with him. She was like, yeah, he is really cute and really good. But then her friends were like, oh my God, he's really going to make it. She was brought back to reality like, no, he's not.
Yeah.
He's a hard worker at it too, moonlighting in this R&B group.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and then she gives him She Loves You. She's like, I wrote a song for you, and it's She Loves You by the Beatles. And he's like,
I knew
I
it was
going
to be a Beatles song. I knew it was going
to
be a Beatles
song.
She
references them earlier. She's like, I'm going to go to Liverpool and discover the Beatles.
It's like the movie
Yesterday.
I just want to go back to his voice. It killed me. Feed me. Charge me.
Yes, charge me.
Charge me.
God, he's
that
nuts.
Destroyed me. That destroyed
he's
me.
Nuts.
And every time he said baby off screen, like a duck, I mean, and there's a moment at the end where he drops the voice for a second.
Yeah,
where does he drop it? I might have missed that.
So it's when they're in the greenhouse after he rescues her from the time traveler's lodge, and they're having their big blowout final fight where he presented her with the locket and she rejects him once and for all, and he drops the voice for a second and it gets very deep and baritone, and he goes, I thought I was what you wanted me to be, it's all my fault. And then he like picks the voice back up again and goes, here, it's a birthday present.
He's like, open it.
But for a second he was like, I tried everything in my power and it still wasn't enough. Anyways, did you guys remember in the basement what he said too? Right after he was Nosferatuing,
which was so
yeah.
Good.
Wait, before that, he was about to smother her.
He was gonna kill her. Yeah.
No, he was gonna kill her.
Yeah.
Because
like,
she slept with somebody
choice?
Else.
What was that
Crazy.
Choice? Like he loves her so much, but he was gonna like.
I think he
I
was
thought at
just
first
really
what he
jealous.
Was. Well, I was hoping at first what he was going to do was first wake her up, but then like maybe put his hand on her mouth to be like, don't like freak out your parents. But then the pillow grab was really scary. And again, maybe it's just something like you look past it because it's quote unquote the 80s. I was like, whoa, don't go to the basement with him, girl. Like you might not come back.
Totally new layer. Yeah. To that character.
And Billy, I don't know about you, but this reminded me a lot of his gesticulating scene in Moonstruck.
Oh,
right. When he was like, that's my bride. That's my wife. He's just lamenting what he thinks he deserves.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a good comparison.
Yeah.
He said something. I don't know if it was here, but I wrote down one of the quotes. I'd cut my ride off for another chance. And I was like, well, you get what you wish for in Moonstruck.
I know.
A little intertextuality.
Did anyone look at the poster beforehand?
Ooh, let me pull that back up. It's been a minute.
It's her face like through a keyhole, but I mean, I get the metaphor, but they don't really use that motif in the film at all. Very interesting choice. And
Oh.
also, I really love the poster I saw. It was like, Peggy Sue Got Married, the title, and then, or will she? Like,
I
love ominous old movie posters and insane taglines.
That's like actually, I think, such a clever tagline because of the way it plays with the tense. She got married, but will she? So clever with the time travel element.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's interesting about the key thing.
She's looking through his keyhole and she has the locket around her neck.
The one I'm looking at, she's holding a key, and it doesn't look like she has the locket. It looks like she has a pearl necklace.
Is it like only she can unlock being satisfied and happy?
I'm sure it is.
Maybe.
Also, yeah, only Peggy Sue on the poster.
The poster I'm looking at, there are Nick, Jim Carrey, and Helen Hunter tiny cutouts, but that might have been a remake, right? To draw people in since they're the ones who got famous.
Yeah, the theatrical release poster is the one that's on the Wikipedia is just her.
With the clouds, which is very much giving heaven. Wait, how does she go back if it wasn't with the lodge?
They make love in the greenhouse, and
Right.
then from there she falls asleep in his arms, and then she wakes up from her coma. We go into like this weird dream sequence where she can hear like everything from the night she fainted. You're gonna be fine, you're gonna be awake. Mom, are you awake?
Right. And he's at her bedside singing, which is sweet. Sweet that there's like ways to have singing in your life that isn't your profession and can still spread joy and be admired.
Yeah, that is nice.
Oh, and he's like, I can't live without you. Yay, the end. Dee 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 dee.
It's very like Groundhog Day, where once she's learned what she's supposed to, she gets back versus Back to the Future. They got to solve the problem.
Sorry I couldn't hold a candle to your favorite movie, Jill, but we didn't expect it to.
It was a very interesting movie to watch, and I really enjoyed Nick Cage's performance in this. Again,
Oh.
anytime he opened up his mouth, I was dying laughing at whatever he would say.
Yeah, he's never boring. Do you guys want to get into a quote o'clock?
Yeah, maybe it's time.
What do you guys got?
I really loved, even though it was just like a weird twist, when he was turning down Peggy Sue's advances towards him, when he was just like, well, you wanted to wait. You mean like have sex? Like he was so nervous. He
Intercourse?
was intercourse.
Oh, you mean my wang?
Yeah, you mean my wang?
What else you got?
Her mom said something crazy.
Oh
Let's
my
see, let me find
God.
it.
Peggy, you know what a penis is. Stay away from it.
Stay away from it. And she's like so scared. She's like, please, stay away from it. So funny.
At the reunion, there's a couple funny ones.
Oh, whatever Walter wants, Walter gets! Because his last name is Gibbs.
Someone else at that reunion says, think of men like houses and trade upwards.
Yes, one of her best friends.
I also loved Mike's line where she gets distracted by Nick singing when he's like telling her to run away to Utah and he goes, oh, you're trouble without a cause. Like that's what he calls Charlie. Trouble without a cause. It's so
I
good.
missed that. That's really
That's
funny.
good.
Oh God, Mike has a lot of funny lines. He goes, I'm gonna check out of this bourgeoisie hotel, push myself away from the dinner table, and say, no more jello for me, Mom.
Nick Cage probably jealous he couldn't get that line.
Got something to chew on.
And then he's like doing his poems, and they're so bad. He's like, I couldn't sleep, so I thought I'd scream. Razor shreds of rat puke fall on my bare arms. Like, Richard's burrito is also pretty good.
Yeah, it's very airplane. It's very like we got to get him to a hospital. What is it? It's a building with patients in it.
Mexican food called the burrito. I had it once. Do you think he was fucking serious though? And like white people in the 50s didn't know what burritos were?
I like at the party that they all have, Jim Carrey's like, hey, why don't you turn down the lights and play some makeout music?
I like Charlie's line when he's like, who needs physics when we've got chemistry?
Oh,
That's good.
yes. When she keeps talking about
Zinger.
Richard, I'm getting her to bed with that one.
Oh,
Before he
man.
tries to kill her, and it's like, let's go down to the basement.
Yeah. You guys ready to get into the rating? Some
Oh,
tombstones?
yeah. I
Yeah,
don't think Jill
so.
knows about this.
In case we have any new listeners joining us, too, you know. So on the Nouveau Shemaniacs, we don't do stars. We don't do comparisons. Think about Nick Cage's tombstone, his tomb, not just a stone, literally a property for tax purposes, and what he's going to bring with him to Nick Cage heaven. So Jill, Peggy Sue Got Married. Do you think it has a place in the tomb?
He has so many movies. I'm personally thinking about this one. Maybe it's because he's not the main star. I don't
You
know.
can
I don't
say
know if
no,
it's.
girl.
I don't think it's got a spot in Nick Cage Heaven.
That's fair. We got to be sparing.
I mean, he didn't want to do the movie in the first place. So do you think Nick Cage would want to take it? I don't know.
Yeah, he doesn't seem too passionate about it. It's definitely not one of his iconic ones. You're right. He's not the main character. I think he's very fun. It's a great fun performance to watch. But yeah, I don't think it's essential. I agree with you.
If his uncle wasn't so influential and if he didn't love him so much, I don't think this would exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
Well, we're glad we saw it anyway. Thank you so much for joining us, Jill.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I feel honored to be a part of this.
And we're excited to see what you do next. Thank you to our listeners, if you're out there.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you to our sponsor, Marlboro Light.
Yes!
Don't forget to smoke, kids.
And don't forget your Smile Company dentures.
I mean, ladies, when I use these dentures, I feel alive.
Anyway, it's another cool $1,000 for
Easy.
Us. Catch you next time.
Bye.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole.
Hey there, Shamaniacs. In our next episode, we're watching Ghost Rider.
Nick Cage plays a comic book hero alongside Ava Mendez, Sam Elliott, Peter Fonda.
And Billy, you can't forget Abigor, Grussel, and Wallow.
In this film, motorcycle stuntman Johnny Blaze sells his soul to the devil, but he finds a way to use it for good.
Yes, come for the special effects and killer one-liners. Stay for the dark wig on Nicky Cage. You can watch this title on Amazon Prime with a free 7-day trial of Core, whatever that is. Or you can rent the title at your local library.
Our guest is the daring, the dashing, the Dylan Field.
Dylan is a Marvel expert, fellow podcaster, business school whiz, and my LA pal. Soon to be Billy's New York pal. He's stealing him from me, and I'm very upset.
But we get to share Dylan for this Ghost Rider episode, which turned out to be nothing short of iconic. Nouveau Shamaniacs is hosted by us, Billy Gould and Anna Telfer.
Edited by Billy Gould. Cover art illustrations by Janina Revels. Theme song by Charlie Welling.
Now let's cut the chit-chat, a-hole.
Don't call me that.